a good way to begin. Al niyek tanabinen, we shouldn't be smaller in our own eyes. That's the sharish of all of our problems. That's the root of all of our problems, and that's what this whole sefer is coming to fight against, that cockness in our own eyes, because we don't know who we are. We don't know our own greatness, and that goes back to the beginning of time when the malachim, there were angels, the malachim, that didn't want man to be created. They had some strong tainus against the creation of man, and they came with the taina of ma enos kisif kedana, v'edom kisif kedana. What is man that you should even think of him? Who is man? And that kitrug of the malachim at the beginning of time is something which continues on. Continues on in our lives. The person hears the Malach saying, "You're nobody. You're nothing. You're worthless." And when a person feels that way, doesn't see, doesn't believe in that erech that he has, and that worth, and that value that he has, so he doesn't know who is that I that's saying I. So then, how is he supposed to accomplish anything? How is he supposed to become an Eved Elokim? So therefore, al no lo lahamid be'erkeinu. We mustn't diminish or lessen in our own eyes our erech, our worth, our value. Al niyaktan be'einu, not to be small in our own eyes. Ha'akar be'gedula ha'pnimis. Recognizing, understanding, knowing that gedula ha'pnimis, that inner greatness. Ki ha'sharish la'hakir la'chadet heitev eschoser. That's the only way to sharpen our way of recognizing how all substitutes are ridiculous, how all things that are calling out to us from the world are meaningless. Redudim, next page, ubezuyim, disgraceful and silly. Elbonhu, it's a bizoyim, it's disgraceful. The Misha Ruach Elokim or Medes Bekirbo, it's disgraceful that a person who is filled with Ruach Elokim, Lios Tzarchan Tablus Chalula Vezoila, to be at the mercy of a cheap culture that's so far away from Elokus. It's a bizoyin, it's disgraceful. Kach Nucha Lahanik Lenefesh Adam Zrikas Idu Chazaka. Therefore, our job is to inject the Nefesh Adam with this infusion of chizuk, of encouragement. Sheyokum v'yidba tviyah shel cheiros v'ayra, to finally stand up and to demand cheiros, to be free, and ayra, and light. Lotzei selamasa ha'atzmi ha'amiti, to embark on a journey to the true person who he is, on the atzmi ha'amiti, on that atzmi ha'amiti of who I really am. To give birth, to bring forth in one's life that or hamiyuchad, that unique bar, that light, shenotaboy other haneshamas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has implanted, has given to each and every one of us. Ribon kolamas and melech malchem melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, he thanks some of the people who helped. Let's just end. Go to the next page, and let's just the little tefillah at the end. Vihiratzen. Maybe Hashem's will. Hashem's will should help us. That we should come to know and to recognize and to see that or of Elokus, that light of Elokus that's within us. That amazing power of the neshama that Hashem has infused within us. And to reveal that great light that's within us. Neitzel lecheiros ha'olam, we should be zeichet to go, to be completely free. We call them a shabbat es ruchene. From all of those things that are mishabe, that are enslaving our ruach, nidresh b'chalev es mesek ahava v'advekes im Hashem alokeinu, to be able to seek with all of our heart the sweetness of that love and dvekes with Hashem. V'l'shem binyin beis mekashenu v'sabatenu mehev yamein amein v'amein. Let's begin the sefer. So now we're going to have actual numbers. Turn a bunch of pages till you get the Lamed Aleph. So all Hashgacha Pratis that we're now learning these parashiyos of Shmais and Ve'era and Bo and Bishalach, the parashiyos of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so the parashiyos of Cheirus, and we're going to Shvat, and to the months of Gula, Lesma Gula Lagula, to Adar and to Pesach. And these are the sugya, this is the sugya that we're going to be learning now throughout this time, of what Chayrus means, what it means to be free. What it means, Bemis, to be free. Chayrus is Namonis La'atzmis. Freedom, according to the Torah, is not that there are others who are, that all the others who are bothering you or are holding you or imprisoning you are away. That doesn't mean that you're free. Freedom is something much deeper than that. Freedom is being able to answer the question of Ayeka. That's what the Sefer is about. Mahi Chayrus Amitis. What is the meaning of Chayrus? What is true Chayrus? B'dareinu, in our generation, Anu Eidem L'ruchais Rabbeis HaManashvais Ba'erlam. We are witnessing countless ruchais that are blowing in the world, all different things that are, we've never been, a person has never been exposed to so many things, so many ideas, places, people, choices. There's so many winds that are blowing through the world.
And what they share in common is the belief that Torah mitzvahs, that a life of Torah mitzvahs is an ol and a shibud l'adam. That a life of Torah mitzvahs is a life that is lacking in choice. It's a life that enslaves a person to all kinds of rules and regulations. That life of Yiddishkeit is a life of an ol and shibud. And therefore, all of these well-intentioned people with all of their ideas, their philosophies, their ideologies, and so on, are coming to us. Those who observe Torah mitzvahs, offering freedom, cheirus and chayfesh. Was lifrok ol altar, and the only way, according to them, the only way that a person can be really free is if he is no longer enslaved to Shabbos and to Yontiv and to mitzvahs and to every single second living with that all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of us. So the whole world is screaming out to a Jew to be free, and that the old way of Torah mitzvahs is a shibud, is a bitter slavery. Bos lifak al Torah al piruchais elu nidmish shehemunah v'kabal somachus shemayim hein shibud. According to all of these ruchos, one would get the impression, one would begin to think, and this is how a lot of the chevra feel, the kids in school for sure, that a life of emunah is and kabal somachus shemayim is a shibud. Is a terrible, terrible, bitter shibud. It takes away all of one's freedom, one's spirit. And on the other hand, heresy and a rejection of Hashem and His mitzvahs, those are the gateways that lead to a life of being free. Cheirus and chofesh. Beruach kazu, Ha'amirah shel Chazal. So that famous Maimer Chazal is ready. This famous Chazal of Ein Lecha Ben Chayrin Ela Misha Isbek Torah. The only true person who is the only true free person is somebody who is Isaac in Torah, which is that was one of the earliest Chazals that we heard when we were kids in Yeshiva. That Ein Lecha Ben Chayrin Ela Misha Isbek Torah. That Chazal is resonating less and less with people these days than maybe ever before. And while we were growing up and we were sitting, you know, in school till 6 o'clock, 6:30, and our friends from the block who were in public school, where we knew we were already like in the eighth inning of their first game, and we were still sitting there somewhere in school, and it was getting dark and so on. So I can only speak for myself and my friends that we certainly did not feel that we were B'nai Charin. We didn't feel that we were liberated people. We felt that we were enslaved to a paro with a less Jewish name, with a Jewish name. but we were enslaved to Paro. That's how we felt. That was the experience of growing up. And with many Jews, that continues on as they get older, and as we can see by them either dropping Yiddishkeit altogether or choosing all kinds of different variations where they have some feeling of a connection to a Jewish heritage tradition, or if they remain in the Orthodox world, it's the Kiddush Club variation of Yiddishkeit, which is to try that it shouldn't be a shibud, it shouldn't be an all. I don't have to be in shul on time. I don't have to stay the whole thing. I don't have to be so serious about all of these things about, you know, whether while I'm in Florida I go to this kind of a place or that kind of a place. Well, I don't have to live with a shibud. I don't have to live with that all. It's not the ones that we heard about when we were in yeshiva. So they're all different levels of how we came to believe over time that Yiddishkeit does not make a person into a ben chayrin, that observing Torah mitzvahs and living according to Shulchan Aruch does not liberate, it enslaves. And the only thing that liberates a person is to be able to do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants. That's called freedom. The old classic Western definition of freedom is what freedom really is. And the ancient Har Sinai version of Cheres is outdated. And at the present time, in 2023, it is a new form of slavery, not of freedom. And Ad Kedei Kach, this Mahalach is so strong that it has a way of seeping deep, deep into the hearts and minds of even Jews who are Shomer Mitzvahs. How does one keep a mitzvah? Just the next time that you bench, watch how you bench. Watch yourself benching. Whether you're trying to get finished with benching or you're trying to bench. In other words, whether I have to bench, because I have to bench, or whether I want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, is this experience of benching a shibud? Is it a type of slavery? Or is it a privilege? Every time you bench, you can see. Every time you daven, you can see. You don't have to philosophize. So how do you daven? How do we bench? How do we make brachas? How do we have the Shabbos suda tonight? What kind of a suda is it? How does one live as a Jew? It's not just a matter of some kind of a major break from halacha. Whether or not benching is a shibud or a schus, you can see the next time you bench. How do you feel when you're benching? Are you looking forward to the words being over, or are you looking forward to the words being said? What do you look forward to more? That you've done with the words, or you're saying the words? What's more exciting with davening? Being davening or being oiske davened? I davened. I'm finished. I once mentioned to you that I remember I was in Yerushalayim many years ago. I davened Marv, and there was a Yerushalmi next to me. He looked like he was as old as the Beis HaMikdash. This Yerushalmi, you know, the whole of it. He was like a tiny. And after davening, after Aleinu and Kaddish, he kissed the Siddur and he says, "Puter." Puter means I'm exempt. I finished the day.
I'm
Puter. I was like, Puter. I did what I was supposed to do today. I did my things for the day. Potter. And it was like a golistic. He lived in Yerushalayim, but it was like such a golistic, a heavy thing. The way he said it wasn't with a smile. It wasn't. It was just potter. No, like, and that's it. Time to go to sleep. I'm finished. But there's a big difference when a Yerushalmi feels that he's potter, and when an American feels that he's potter. In the five towns, it's already a different madrigas altogether. When you're feeling that you're potter, his p'tur did not entitle him to do anything that was wrong. It was just to go to sleep. But that feeling of the ol and the shibud, and by the way, there's something very holy in that. While it was a little bit sad for me to hear it, but I also saw there's something which was very holy. That this whole mitzias is a mitzias of being a Jew. And that he had his chiyuvim of the day, and that he's potter. But every time that you're sitting and learning, are you learning that this chavrusa should be finished, or are you excited about the learning? Are you hoping that the zman should be finished, or is it that you're excited about the zman? What is it that you live for? What is it that you want? But the tev of a person is to long to be free. It's the most natural. It's the most natural nati of the neshama is to be a ben chayrut. So how you define freedom is very obvious. If you think for a minute, but how do you define freedom? If your learning is to be potter from the learning, if your davening is to be potter from the davening, if the zman is to be potter from the zman, it's the same thing. You know that when you're at work, what is it that you look forward to most? Being at work or being finished with work? Being at work or being on vacation? So it's the same thing. Being in shul or being potter from shul? Davening or being finished with davening? What is cheres? So it's not just about people who are in Yiddish they say when a Jew is not observant they call him a freier Yid, right? That he's free. It's a terrible how that didn't begin with from people, that expression. That began again, I never Googled it and I didn't study the history of it. But who started that expression that when a Jew is not observing mitzvahs he's called a freier Yid, a free Jew? It's horrible. The truth is that a Yid that's keeping mitzvahs is a freier Yid. Not that, and even in modern Hebrew they say chavshi. Chavshi, it's terrible. And that was the ideal of liot am chavshi baretzeinu. He wasn't just talking about being free from Cossacks. That's also part of the song, but he meant to be free from Torah mitzvahs. If you look into the background of that song, liot am chavshi baretzeinu, to be free.
No way.
To be free. Freedom, that freedom was a freedom from the all of Europe and the all of Yiddishkeit that many of the that generation that they felt that they were that leaving the old country and coming and starting something different and something new, with the love of Eretz Yisrael and with the love of the Jewish people, of course, but to be chavshi, to be free. So how does one define freedom? It's very easy to test yourself when it comes to that. How do you define freedom? So, ein lecha ben charon el misha es b'Torah. Then you look back at Chazal, and Chazal say that that only a person who is sitting and learning Torah is a ben charon. Somebody who's deep into Yiddishkeit, that's a ben charon. That's somebody who is free. Ein miskabelos al life. For a lot of people, they're not buying it. To go and to say, join us and you'll be truly free. And that's why tonight that when it's candlelighting from that, you know, after that, no phone, no television, no trips, no shopping, and so on. And this way you could be truly free. So, Einam et kabelat alayv. Not just by people who aren't religious, who are outsiders, that it sounds like we're nuts. But even to people who are inside, they're feeling more and more. What's going on, and people tell me all the time about, not just kids who are texting on Shabbos, but even adults who are texting on Shabbos, who consider themselves to be Orthodox and send their kids to yeshiva. The message of Ein Lecha Ben Charon Ela Misha Ois B'Torah, that if you want to be free, then join us, then be a Jew that Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, we see is with a lot of Jews, even who are officially on the program, Ze Lo Holech, it's not working. It's not resonating with a lot of the Chavra. And all they're hearing, a lot has to do with the education, of course, but all they're hearing is Yiddishkeit means you can't. And that's the famous thing that they say from Moshe, Francis, that everybody knows that he was so upset because of the expression that Jews always had of Shvetz Ani, that it's hard to be a Jew. And Moshe was upset with that, and of course he was upset. Because that Shverikite, the kids were hearing over and over always, is Shvetz Ani, like the old Yushami saying Potter. So what do you think when you hear your father saying Potter? Or Shvetz Ani, oh, it's so hard to be a Jew. It's hard to be a Jew. So it's easy not to be a Jew. And hardship is being a Jew. And nobody wants to have a hard life. People want to have an easy life. So Ramesh says that's a terrible chinuch to kids growing up. hearing over and over and over again, oh, Yisrael Shavetz is Aniyin. No, Yisrael is Aniyin. It's terrible.
Those are the people that gave up their jobs for Shabbos when they came home.
Yeah, and they were poor, and they so the kids were hearing that we're suffering because of Shabbos, and our lives are miserable because of mitzvahs. And what happened to the next generation? It's gone. They're not Jews anymore. About the third generation, they're finished. There's no Yiddishkeit anymore. That's what Ramesh was talking about. Ramesh came to America, and that's what he saw when he came here. It seems that the Torah is filled with all kinds of chayvus, chiyuvim, obligations, and shibudim, responsibilities, and chiyuvim, and so on. Isurim ugvulais. It's filled with prohibitions and boundaries. And by nature, a person wants to be unfettered and free. He doesn't like boundaries. Every kid is saying, "Get off my case." Everybody hates, they hate schedules and responsibilities and requirements, boundaries and borders and expectations. And these are all horrible, dirty words. Especially since we're already living in a time that's hundreds of years since the American Revolution or the French Revolution, and the whole metzius of democracy in the world, and the whole concept of which in earlier days nobody grew up with such a musig of doing whatever you want. There was no such musig of doing whatever you want. I mean, to pursue happiness. To pursue happiness, you just do what you're being told. If it makes you happy, that's good. If not, too bad. So we weren't raised that way. We were raised in an avira with a ruach of freedom, of democracy, which is, of course, is a wonderful gift to the world. But at the same time, the ruach of democracy is filled with the ruach of kfir, of apikrisis as well. And it's natural in that, when growing up in that ruach, to have a terrible resentment towards any ol and any shibud and anything that's telling you can't do what you want. Anybody tells you can't do this is a paro. You can't do what you feel like doing is Russia. And the Torah, so the Torah people are growing up feeling that the Torah is filled with chayvus and isurim and gvulis, and it is. The Torah is filled with all kinds of halachas. Every minute of a person's day is following rules and regulations. And when a person takes it really seriously, it's even about what you say and what you think, not just what you do. Even what you think. It's not just that you have to do this and you can't do that. You're supposed to think this and you can't think that. It's even your thoughts. So a person feels that this is the biggest shibud, this is the biggest all. I'm a slave. Ubekach nira shahadvekus b'tora. So when you come and you talk to a person about being dovuk, being attached to Torah, being attached to Hashem, misaveves l'adam avdus v'lo cheres. All the person thinks about is, that's a life of avdus. That's not a life of cheres. That's a life of avdus. I don't want to live that way. I don't mind the occasional, you know, holiday and, you know, whatever, to daven every now and then. I don't mind some Yiddishkeit. It's nice, but I don't want to be part of that whole business of dveikus and, well, that's too much. That's slavery. That's not cheres. There are many, many, many people who feel this way, even though they don't talk about it, they don't say it, even to themselves they don't say it. But again, you can tell by your own Yiddishkeit. And the children can tell very quickly whether their parents are free by their Yiddishkeit or they're enslaved by their Yiddishkeit. Children pick up on that right away. From the very beginning, when children are able to think and they're able to watch, which is the, they don't talk about it because they can't articulate it, but they pick up very, very quickly whether my parents are Orthodox by choice or by enslavement, and whether or not they're living their Yiddishkeit as free people or as slaves. They could tell right away. It becomes very clear to the kids. And then those parents think that, okay, well, hopefully we'll send them to school, and we'll and then in that place, they'll give over enough, not too much, because we don't want them getting crazy or anything like that, but they'll give over enough that they'll somehow won't embarrass us by the bar mitzvah, and they'll remain nominally Orthodox, but at least they'll be exposed to some teachers who actually enjoy this stuff, you know, who take davening seriously, who take learning seriously, and then if they get enough of that while they're in yeshiva, not too much, but enough of that when they're in yeshiva, and then they leave yeshiva, so then there'll be some sort of a residue of that that will prevent them from marrying outside the faith. They'll remain Jews, and they're not going to embarrass their ancestors in heaven and be a disgrace to our family. So, I'll speak. I just summed it up pretty good. And that's it. So.
Did you have a hard week?
Huh? Oh, he's going to have shver vach. It's a shver vach. The Yiddish kids are shver vach.
Is it shirova?
What?
He said it's a shirova.
You see, by Jews coming already on a Friday morning, it's already a proof that you're not from that chevra. That chevra is not at a shir at 8 o'clock in the morning. They should all be healthy and well. That chevra is not at a shir. They're already making their money as early as possible. They're already on their 40th email by this time. And they're looking forward to a restful Shabbos. Not a Shabbos that's necessarily filled with a Baal Tefillah who would go 4 minutes over. Not by a mikveh, not by Kedushas Levi or Noam Elimelech, not by any kind of extensive smiras. One zemer is enough. If your kid came home from Eretz Yisrael and somehow he got the bug of Yiddishkeit and he decided to sing a second zemer, a second one, then somebody in the family will give him that look. That's not our tradition. We sing one song. It's time for dessert. If you want to sing, you can do that after benching all you like. Don't bother us. I'm going to sleep or I'm going to read the newspaper. Don't bother me. The Jewish newspaper. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. But Abba, you know, in yeshiva, Friday night, we had such a gewaldige Shabbos and we sang for 2 hours and saying, don't bother me. That's not our tradition. Your grandfather only sang for 10 minutes. We're not singing here for an hour or two. I didn't pay for you to become a fanatic. Don't come back and tell us what to do. And how to heat up food on Shabbos. Who told you that? This whole story goes on and on and on. So I've been dealing with the last 40 plus years with parents and all these things. But the parent did send the kid to Eretz Yisrael, but the intention was not to come back with 2 hours of smiras. Please leave that behind in Eretz Yisrael. Don't come back with 2 hours of smiras. And then the worst thing is that for the parents that have this kid, and it's not only boys. You have some girl comes back and it's Friday night, and like all of a sudden, like the girl takes out her notes from seminary, and you can see like the father. Right, starts to squirm in his chair, and she's not, now she has like her new shirt, you know, and she's got her new sleeves and everything. She's got her notes, and she takes out her notes and she said, "Oh, it's great! This is Parshas Vayera. I learned all about the Ten Makkos. We had a whole class on the Ten Makkos. It was a 2 month class on the Ten Makkos." And she takes out her notes, and now the mother loves the girl so much that she can play along more. But dad was like, this is really rough. This is really rough. So, you know, look, why don't you save some for Pesach? You know, the Ten Makkos, you know. It's only Parshas Vayera. Yeah, but it's Parshas Vayera. We're doing the Makkos now. She says, well, you know, well, yeah, but Pesach is also in Tishrei. Save some for Pesach, you know. But you wouldn't believe I had this Malbim. Wow. I got to share this Malbim with you. You never heard a Malbim like this in your life. Listen to this Malbim. Dad, you got to listen to this Malbim. How long is the Malbim? Oh, it's only like 3 pages. 3 pages. And okay, so what's he going to do? You know, he paid for the seminary and he sits there. They made a monster out of my daughter. She was like a happy-go-lucky girl. And now she's like this She's dressing like some old Rebbetzin, and she's giving speeches over here. But how do you explain to the kid that you're Orthodox? How do you explain that to your kid, that you're Orthodox? Or is that you're Shomer Torah Mitzvos? So this is an uncomfortable situation, because this, the kid now feels like she's been liberated, and she's coming with this message of Ben Franklin or something, like we're free, like this is it, everybody's free, you know, Thomas Jefferson, everybody's free, Abraham Lincoln, everybody, no more slavery, emancipation, everybody's free. And for the father, this is like, oh, I tried to get away from this when I was 18, and now it's coming back to haunt me through my kids. You actually are taking this whole thing very seriously. I didn't expect you to take it that seriously. I wanted you to remain Jewish and to marry somebody that's Jewish, but I didn't want you to do the malbim, you understand? I didn't want to have extra smears. I just wanted, and I didn't want you to look at me funny, like, why am I still in the house? Why is Daddy still in the house? Davening started a half hour ago. Why is Daddy still in the house? Drinking a coffee and looking at the paper. I didn't want you to have that look, you know. I didn't want that look coming from you. I just want you to also, like, have coffee and look at the paper and repeat, and then we should continue on like this. And somehow, at some point, Mashiach will come and we'll continue with this stuff. Somehow, during Messianic times, I guess it'll continue. It'll be the Messianic times, I guess. Something different. Something new, but basically the same. Basically the same mahalach. She says. So when we come with it, when we come with dveikus, and dveikus, and you look at these tzaddikim, the dveikus and ruchnius, and it conjures up all kinds of feelings of shibudim, the opposite of being free. Omnam divrei chachamim heim emes lamita. Divrei chachamim, they said, ein lecha ben chayna, let me show you that a person. Only a person who is living a life of Torah and learning Torah is free. Bemis is free. Not freedom according to Thomas Jefferson or according to Benjamin Franklin. Not freedom according to what the world says, is that you're an 8-year-old kid and you should be free to desire whether you want to be a boy or a girl. That's also called freedom. That you're free to decide when you should be free. That children should be free to decide who they are. That's cheres. That's cheres. Now in 2023, that's cheres. That a child should be free to decide. Not just to decide whether he wants to major in English or to major in math, but to be free to decide whether he's a zacher in the cave. That's called freedom in the world. Omnam
direi chachamim emes lamita. What? You can't get a driver's license until you're 18 years old, but right. You can mutilate your body when you're 8, but you can't drive until you're 18.
It's sick. It's so perverse. But this is what we're living in. I mean, so the stake of what's called freedom, and how are we supposed to give over this message to our children? It's becoming harder and harder because the whole world is saying that everybody is free to do whatever they want, and of course that means that you're free to do whatever we want you to do, and what we think is called freedom. That's what the children should be doing. And then but at the same time they say that no, but if you're a religious person and you're trying to give over to your kid to be a religious Jew, that's called enslavement. So this is what we're living through. When the words of the Chachamim are of course 100% true, and they penetrate deep, deep to the Tahim HaNefesh, the deepest part of the Nefesh of the soul. But a person has to realize the Chazal are talking about the way Hashem understands the truth. Havana Elokis. Chazal are communicating to us Havana Elokis, a godly way of seeing life. Havana Elokis. B'mohus ha'adam, the mohus of man. What's the mohus of Adam? The essence of the human being. And how is it possible for a person to be able to reach true cheres, the cheres that the essence of him wants, not the external part of him wants, the essence that part of who he that who he is wants this, not who he's being propped up to be, not who he's being told that he is, not what the what it's advertised that he is, but who the etzem of who he is, who the one who created him knows who he is, and the creator. And the Creator has defined what is it that makes this person free. Not how you feel. But freedom is not a matter of how you feel. Freedom is what how you are, what you are, not how you feel. You might feel free to scream fire in a crowded theater, right? Like the old, you're free to do that. And you feel that you should be able to do that. But it's wrong. It's wrong, and it could cost people their lives. So, when you feel free, that's not talking about the mahus of a person. That's talking about that shallow and that shallow interpretation of the deepest need of a person to be who he is. But to be who you are is not the way that you feel at that moment. That's not what cheres means. But cheres means cheres amitis hanechsefes. True freedom, the freedom that the soul is longing for. And when the soul meets up with that freedom, the neshama knows the neshama knows, now I am free. And by the way, that could happen while, God forbid, you're sitting in a cell, in a prison, or you're sitting, God forbid, in a concentration camp. As we'll see from Rav Kook in a few minutes, the way he speaks about what it means to be free. That's not a matter of where, it's not up to where you are. It's not freedom is not a condition of whether the door is locked or the door is open. It's not a condition of whether the door is locked or it's open. Or I could go where I want, I could do what I want to do. People now can go wherever they want. Everybody here sitting right now is totally free. Baruch Hashem, we're living in America. When we were kids, we were told America is a free country. It's in danger now of that, but it's still a free country, Baruch Hashem. It's a free country. But raise your hand if you think that you're completely free, that from now until Kabbalah Shabbos, you're not going to look at your phone. I'm not asking mom to raise your hand. Just think about this. Are you free not to look at the phone? Yeah, but what about, you know, about my kid? I'm not going to go shopping. It's not because I'm going to go looking at all different stuff, but I do need to, and then fill in the blank. Whatever it is, I do need to, but everybody here is going to be looking at their phone today, including me. I'm going to be looking at the phone. Erev Shabbos is usually my worst day with that business, because that's just how it comes out because of what my union is in this world with people. So everybody is going to be, but you feel that you're free.
You're free if you want to be.
Of course, and it was always like that.
You don't need the TV.
It was always like that. When I'm in the summer in the country, and I look at and it's terrible to say this, and I look at some poyer, a peasant, sitting on his broken porch someplace in Hurleyville, I'm mekane him. Not for who he is, God forbid. I'm not jealous of him because of who he is. But there's a certain look of peace, you know? He doesn't have 45 calls to make, this guy. He doesn't have 100 emails and WhatsApps. And so, who's free? We can't be free. We desire to be free. But that's always been that. It's always been that. But what defines freedom is not whether or not. And by the way, of course, that's only a moment's thought, and it's no jealousy of some player, but because you know that he's enslaved to a million other things, which is his alcohol or his bowling or his girlfriend. Or I'm just using it as a muscle that we shouldn't get confused, right? Chas v'chalila. That's something else. So he's an evid, a meshubid to terrible things, much worse than a phone. But there's that wistful thought of that. Wouldn't it be nice to just sort of sit like on a rocking chair and not have to, you know, answer a million questions about what's going to be with my life, and just to, not to worry about that, you know, just whether I scored 180 or 187 on the bowling game. Be like a mechaya. But of course, that's the mahus of a person is not whether the, again, not whether you have to be here or you have to be, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's what you've determined to be the tachlis and the purpose of your life. And the tachlis, if the tachlis and the purpose of your life is dveikus b'Hashem, then you decide when you want to put the phone down. Not that you don't have to use the phone. You have to use the phone. But you decide when you're putting it down, and you couldn't care less whether someone says, how come you're not on the phone when I da-da-da-da. Like you're not meshubit to anybody. You're not meshubit to anybody. And what happens with that? What happens with that? You're going to lose a friend. That person's not going to be your friend anymore. Okay. I'm not meshubit to you as my, to be my friend either. It's not a shibit. How come you didn't call me back? I called you. It's already 10 minutes past since you WhatsApp me back. 10 minutes past already. And they're sending question marks. You ever get that? You wouldn't believe how many times a day I get that. It's usually from rich people. They'll send me a WhatsApp. And I didn't answer for like a half hour or something. I happen to look at it now. And then I'm getting ready question marks. That I have to call him back. Because he's used to everybody doing what he wants. Because he's a gvir. And I have a special hana on not calling that person. I'm just, that's a secret to you. Yeah. The pshutim, the ahuvim, the simple elach yidin, I try to call back as soon as I can. But the ones with the question marks, that's the... I know, it's like, you're not allowed to take in the karma, I know that. So the question mark, you got that question mark. What question mark? What kind of question mark? What do you think? I'm sitting around here all day waiting for you to what are you? You're sending me a question mark? You answer everybody in a half hour? I'd like to see what your kid has to say about how quick you are with him to talk to him. That I have to call you back in a half hour. After half hour, you're already sending question marks. Or even worse than that, then you have calling my wife or calling other people. And my wife says, you know, this so-and-so is looking for you. I said, I saw it was a thing. He called like 20 minutes ago. And already calling this one and calling that one. This is a sickness. And for a person to be able to make a decision to say, look, that means to be able, of course you have to be nice to be able to say, they're Mrs. Vanov Chavero, of course, I'm not saying, but to be meshubit, there was never such a shibul like in our times to be such a vodim. And then everybody's worried, what's this person going to think and how they're going to think of me, what's going to be with my life if I don't, and so on. And then I'm not, or when it comes to business, I don't have anything like that with business, but when it comes to people have to do with their business, so then that I'm not going to make, I am going to make. And until candle lighting, they're sitting there, they don't have time to say a shir shirim. They don't have time a little bit to sit before Shabbos for an hour and to say shir shirim a little bit and to come into Shabbos like a normal human being. Instead, to the last second, the thing is still dinging and ringing and looking up and doing. So, it's Erev Shabbos. Everybody's free. All of us. We're all free today. It's America. America's a free country, no? So, every one of us is free. So, each and every one of us can decide what we want to do today. So, what's going to be between now? Candle lighting, I don't know what time is today. So, I don't know. But anyway, 4:40 something?
4:39.
4:39? So, between now and 4:39.
Oh, no, I picked up my phone to look.
You're not wearing a watch?
What?
You don't have a watch?
No, but I'm looking, trying to figure out when I can light.
Oh, okay. So that time of Erev Shabbos, which we see from the Sfarim HaKadoshim, is time of tshuva. It's become the time of being less free than ever before. So it can't be that Cheiruz means to do 30, okay, so it can't mean that cheiros means that you're just free to do whatever you want. It means identifying what you truly want and what your neshama is desperately wanting. That's what it means to be free. What your neshama wants, not what this silly little immature seichel of you that tells you that that I have to do this, I have to do that. Or it's what your neshama wants. That's what makes a person free. Yeah.
Does Rebbe have any recommendations for the kids going through what you were speaking about before? Should they not come home? Is there any way for the people who are into it to influence the people who are not into it? Or is maybe one of the answers, you know, sweetheart, maybe go to yeshiva every week and don't come home for Friday night? There are people who are in that matziv that they want other people to sing more zmiros and whatever, and you're around people who don't want it. Is there a way to either convince people or the children should stay away?
I think that they should try to work out some sort of a compromise where you have, the kid needs to understand that eager beaver seminary girl needs to understand that her parents are not used to this, not accustomed to this, and you don't have to do the whole notebook that night, and to be a Baal HaSeichel. A lot of the chevdeh, but that are newly that found the God, and that are newly from, that are missing common sense. There's a mitzvah to be a Baal HaSeichel. So when you have someone that comes, of course I was exaggerating the picture, but there are a lot of you have to be a Baal HaSeichel that your parents are not used to this. And the parents have to be compassionate and also have common sense to recognize the aspirations, the new aspirations of their child, and to be proud of them. So intelligent people don't have to avoid each other. They talk to each other. I'm all for people talking to each other. Like, let's discuss this. Why don't we make this a conversation, not during the meal, but we can talk about this at a different time. Like, I would love to be able to share Torah with my parents because I love the Torah that I'm learning and I love my parents. On the other hand, I understand that my parents, it's all new for them and they're tired. And my parents had probably a much harder week than I had. And my father works to pay for the seminary. And maybe I need to have a little bit more common sense and I shouldn't be saying a whole drush at the Shabbos table, you know, so people could talk about it. But that's not a reason for a kid not to come home.
Well, sometimes a conversation at the table is not appropriate for the yeshiva.
So, okay, that's true. That's something else. I leave it up to the intelligence, the common sense, and the fear of God of people to be able to figure these things out. But it's like we always talk about this, that common sense is
not common.
It's very, 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 very rare these days, common sense. Just to figure out a person's life and how to navigate through these things. Okay, Rez Hashem, we'll continue next time.